everybody jump, jump, jump.
Good Wednesday to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. You've got Pete and Mike across the way on the side at the controls. Andrew with your updates. The 9 a.m. Eastern time we go as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home? Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Oh, good, Moose. Good. Everything's outstanding. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody, all the listeners are doing well, and all the men who work on the show and anybody else involved with it. Exciting guests coming on in a little while, actually, in this hour.
Yeah, Steve Phillips is going to be up bright and early. Former executive with the Mets. You hear him on MLB Radio now. He's all over the place. He'll join us about 20 minutes from now as we've got a couple Game 5s today in the National League. As it will be the Braves hosting the St. Louis Cardinals and the Dodgers hosting the Washington Nationals in a fantastic pitching matchup. Walker Buehler and Steven Strasburg out west, out in Chavez Ravine. And we've got a Game 5 in the American League as well as the Never Say Die Tampa Bay Rays. You know, did bullpen the blank out of the Astros, as their manager said before or after Game 3 and their victory as they staved off elimination. And Verlander not good on 3 days rest as he got knocked around as well. And the Rays hold on for the 4-1 victory over the Stros last night, Taz, as we'll see a Game 5 down in Houston tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't expect this for sure. But that, you know, and we mentioned it yesterday, and he had a short rest. Maybe a concern, and sure enough was, because it didn't help Verlander or the Stros, because he definitely got banged up pretty good by the Rays at home, who, you know, we talked about the audience, the live audience there in Tampa Bay, how they showed up the other night, and the other day, I should say, and then yesterday, same deal. I mean, so it's like, I did not expect this, them forcing this right here, the Tampa Bay Rays. Very impressed with what they're doing, and, you know, for you as a Yankee fan, if I was a Yankee fan, I'd be happy because, man, if the Astros are going to advance, like a lot of people think they were going to, like foregone conclusion, including me, I think now it's like, man, they're earning this advancement, you know, to play the Yankees in the ALCS. So they're getting one out, one down, which is great. I mean, so even if I would assume you're happy, right, with this?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. Your fandom, I'm saying. No doubt. I think it certainly helps out the Yankees.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt. You know, you get it from a Stros perspective. From their perspective, you know, people might be critical of A.J. Hinch, the fact that he goes to Verlander on 3 days rest, where he could have went in another direction and had Cole and Verlander available for a Game 5 should he see fit. And then you would have had one of them then set up for Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. So now it's a scenario where, to play the point that you were making, you know, to kind of hammer that point home, would be the fact that, you know, even if you win Game 5, you don't have either one of them available for Game 1 of the ALCS, conceivably at home against the Yankees. One of them would be available Game 2, and that would be Verlander, and that would be on normal rest. And then you would not see Gerrit Cole till Game 3 when that series switches back to New York, should they advance on Thursday against this Tampa Bay Rays team. So that's where, in essence, it does hurt the Stros, the fact that they were not able to eliminate and win this series in 4 games, and the fact that you went to Verlander on, you know, on 3 days rest, and he did not deliver, and something that he has never done over the course of his career. And we know he's not 27, 28 years of age anymore. You know, I had I'm not going to second guess A.J. Hinch now. You know, he knows his players better than anybody. And, you know, he had a conversation with Verlander as that Game 3 was winding down in the dugout, and then was clear and decisive with his decision that he was going to his star righty after that Game 3 loss to the Rays. I had no issue with Hinch going to Verlander last night, but you could tell early on that he wasn't nearly as sharp. The ball was tailing over middle. And what Verlander, what makes him special as a starter, is his ability to paint the corners inside and out. And he clearly was not able to do that last night.
No. But what was able to be done last night was the Rays and their offense. Because, good God, they had 13 hits in this game in the 4-1 victory over Houston while the Rays were home. 13 hits. I mean, and they have shown, I mean, you know, great defense. And there was a great relay in this play yesterday. Probably one of the better defensive plays you're going to see as far as relays.
Well, Kiermaier is a hell of a center field.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. And how quick the shortstop turned it around. I mean, that was really impressive. But offensively, man, that the Rays have been like insanely impressive, like the way they're hitting the ball. So if they can keep that going into Houston, which is, that's Friday, right? That game, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see.
The game's Thursday.
Thursday. What's today?
Thursday. Today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Okay, I'm tracking.
The
my
ALCS
game.
Starts Saturday.
There you go. Okay, gotcha. All right, there you go.
Yeah. So that the game starts on Thursday down in Houston, and it'll be Garrett Cole for the Astros. Did you have an issue with Hinch going to Verlander on 3 days rest?
No, I'm with you. No. Because. You want to win. You want to lock this thing up. No, I did not have an issue with it. No, I did not.
And then you look at the, impact in terms of for the Strohs, where the Tampa Bay Rays have put him in an absolute pressure cooker. And Houston last year, I think a lot of people thought they were going to eliminate the Boston Red Sox, fell short, won a World Series in 2017, have the best record in baseball coming into this postseason. A lot of people look at that Rays team as being a very dangerous one, as being a non-division winner, wild card winner in the American League. You know, all the pressure in the world is on Garrett Cole and the Houston Astros. I don't think anyone expected the Rays down 2-0 to get this series back to Houston. They have. And I think that does play the advantage of a Strohs team, or I should say a Rays team, going into Houston, Taz. You mentioned the lack of offense, or the offense for the Rays, but the severe lack of offense when you look at the Strohs.
Right.
They're not hitting. They had 6 hits last night. They haven't hit a ton in this series, and I know the Rays have got a pretty good staff, and that bullpen has been rock solid, and Kevin Cash is a hell of a manager. But I'd be a little concerned, and it'd be interesting to see how Garrett Cole, who I think is going to win the Cy Young Award in the American League, who had 15 strikeouts and 7-plus innings in his game to start, you know, how does Garrett Cole react in Game 5? Because he's going to be downright dominant, because the way the Strohs lineup is going right now, and unless something drastically changes, I don't think they're going to put up 7, 8, 9 runs for him and make it easy for him. I mean, this might be a game in which he wins 4-2 or 5-3, if something of that nature. I mean, it might be that kind of a game where you need a soon or late to get you a big 3 outs. I'd be surprised. The Astros lineup, Taz, not hitting.
No, and you got some massive star power there in Bregman and Altuve and Springer. I mean, and you would think that, we've seen just if you're a casual baseball fan and watching these guys last year, it's the bulk of the same guys. I mean, the same stars. And but you're right, they're just not hitting. I mean, 6 hits in this type of game where you want to win on the road, and you know Verlander is having an issue, and they can't, they can't get some spring off their bat with these balls and get these balls hitting gaps or hit them over the fence. It's concerning. So I mean, maybe this is these past 2 games where the Astros have lost on the road. Maybe this now will be humbling. You know how it is. Teams could bounce back. They come home.
Sure.
That Houston crowd will be rocking and rolling.
No doubt.
And yeah, that could happen. I mean, but it makes it more intriguing now for sure, because Tampa Bay they're hot, and they got a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah, they are hot, and they're starting to believe. And you mentioned the defense last night was fantastic, whether it be a Choi with a couple line drivers that he caught at first base. The outfield was all over the place. Kiermaier, you mentioned that great relay. In which they got Altuve at the plate. Great swipe tag. Oh,
fast.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Great swipe tag there by Travis d'Arnaud at home plate as well, as he got the glove and hit his left thigh right before he put his hand down on the corner of home plate, Taz. So, the Rays are doing a lot of things that you like. And for those that kind of want to embrace modern baseball and embrace the use of the bullpen, you see guys on the MLB Network going out and hammering that point home that this is a sign of the time. The Tampa Bay Rays made it sexy a year ago in the regular season, this regular season as well. And you saw last night them use 6 pitchers going up against Verlander, who gave you 4 2/3 innings of work. The Astros ended up winning 6 pitchers, using 6 pitchers as well. They were successful, and they did a hell of a job. And the staff was fantastic, and it was just a great team win. And atmosphere down in Tampa at the Trop Test that I thought for the last 2 days was pretty good. I thought the Rays fans showed up. I thought they were loud. I thought they were into it.
I know. It's like in that place. I mean, and I tell you, TV-wise, they're doing a good job, like explaining how that place is such a, with the dome, and how the, what was it? I think it was, who's doing, Prinsky was doing the color commentating.
AJ Prinsky, Joe Girardi.
And Girardi. Correct. Girardi was the one who said it, not AJ. Girardi was saying how, and he knows from being the manager of the Yankees for so long and playing there in Tampa Bay, how they know that stadium so well. Like, everything about where the ball bounces, yada, yada, and all that stuff. And it was really cool to get that insight from Girardi on that, you know, as a guy who was an opposing manager against him for so long.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and Girardi does a nice job. Maybe we'll see him back in the dugout with your Mets or maybe the Cubs next year. Yeah. You know, he did a nice job last night as a color analyst. And, you know, for Major League Baseball on the whole here, as you've got a couple Game 5s tonight or today and tonight, and then you've got a couple Game 5 tomorrow, I mean, it's conceivable here where you could have, you know, Braves and Nats in the National League, and you could have Rays and Yankees in the American League, where basically you cut off half the country. I mean, that is, and that would be an absolute disaster. If you're, and not saying, listen, teams are going to earn it regardless, but if you're Rob Manfred, you know, you want Houston, New York, and you want, you know, probably, you know, you want Dodgers, either Cardinals or Braves. I mean, that is what you want, so you have the entire nation involved. Yeah, you don't want an NL East and an AL East showdown in the ALCS and NLCS, right, respectively, and that's, you know, it is possible. I mean, it is highly possible. I mean, you know, the Nats have got their best pitcher in Strasburg on the mound tonight in Los Angeles. And you look at the Braves, they're home against the St. Louis Cardinals, and they could easily win that game. I mean, think about that if you're Major League Baseball, what you could potentially have, which I think would be an absolute disaster. I don't think Yankees Rays is going to light up the country.
No. You're exactly right. And on that National League side, I think, I got to tell you, I think it's even more of an issue possibly because, look, I think that if you're Major League Baseball, you want the Dodgers in the NLCS against Atlanta. Atlanta's a bigger market, as you know, than St. Louis. So I do think, and you want to hit the South because, you know, Yankees not hitting the South. You know, Houston, you're hitting Texas. You're hitting the West. You know, and St. Louis, you're hitting the Midwest. So you want to hit this advance.
I think the Dodgers are the bigger key.
I think you're right. But again, I know it's bad that I'm doing this. To me, it's a foregone conclusion. The Dodgers are advancing.
Oh,
but
don't make it a foregone conclusion.
I know.
Nats got a shot, man. Nats are alive and well.
They are
game
alive.
Five tonight.
What's with you with that whole D.C. area, with the Redskins, the Nats? What's the story?
No, I like the Nats. You know why I root for the Nats, Taz? Because I'd be, like I mentioned before, the whole thing of Harper leaving Washington and going to Philadelphia.
Right.
And then having the team win without him,
yeah.
I think would be an intriguing storyline.
Yeah.
That's all.
Right.
It's not like I hate the Dodgers or rooting against the Dodgers.
I know.
You know, or the fact that I got to get myself down to D.C. and I love Washington sports. But you're right. You think about it. The Redskins, I rooted my rear end off for Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals to win the Stanley
Cup.
Right,
you did.
And now you and me went
with DC.
Right, exactly right. And you and me
should work for WJFK down there.
And then you and me going toe to toe here with the Dodgers. And
that's funny.
Even with Strasburg on the mound, I still think the Dodgers are going to win tonight. I'm going to root for the Nats,
but
I mean the Dodgers are home. They've been so good all season long. Their lineup is kind of built for this. Because it's kind of that next man up mentality. They're all really good. Max Muncy and Bellinger.
Yeah.
And
they're great.
But it's going to be, you know what I love to see, Taz? And you like this as well. I mean, I think all sports fans, you love to see elimination games.
Especially when
you get to a game five or a game seven, when everything's on the line and you realize you only got 9 innings of baseball or one basketball game for 48 minutes left or one hockey game left. You'd like to see that. I enjoy those kind of moments.
Too. Especially when you have no dog in the fight like me, it's great. It's funny. Well, you have no dog in the fight either. You're a Yankee fan, so you're just going to keep winning. So it's kind of like it's easy.
Stop. Don't be like that.
You're going to get a worn-out Astros team that you guys are going to roll.
I don't know. Listen, the Astros aren't playing particularly well. So, conceivably, you might be right about that. I mean, they might be able to take care of business against Houston with the Stros starting rotation being set up. But I'm more intrigued. Sorry to all the Rays fans out there. I'm more intrigued. I want to see Yankees Stros more than Yankees Rays. I saw Yankees Rays a lot in the regular season.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Yankees Rays for another maybe 5, 6, 7 games in the ALCS.
I mean, they're the better team, the Astros. I know it's weird to say if they just lost back-to-back games.
Yeah, but I agree with you.
But I'm surprised you. So you want the real fight? You want to?
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what the baseball fan wants. And I do think that. You want to go up against the best. I don't want to see Yankees Rays. I think that might be a 5 or 6 game series. I'm not trying to be arrogant but
if I was you, I'd want the Twins style sweeps all the way to the World Series.
I gotcha.
Nice and easy. That's how I'd want it. But we got 3 game fives now, which is awesome.
Which is great. We're going to chat about it. Steve Phillips, as Taz mentioned, is going to join us here coming up after the break. A little early guest, as Steve is up bright and early. Former executive with the Mets. And we'll get his thoughts on the 3 game 5s we'll see over the course of the next 24, 36 hours in Major League Baseball. That comes your way next. It's Taz and Moose just getting going here on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
This is 16-year MLB veteran Chase Utley, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to ask the pros. Where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com and submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
No, I was going to say, it was funny. Like, as we waited for Steve Phillips, during the break, I was in the control room.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Pete the Body. And I saw through the glass, through the main door from the hallway, I saw 4 guys walking in with mop buckets and all this stuff and like a cleaning crew. And Pete couldn't see them. I saw Pete, this whole like cleaning crew just came in. And Pete had a really funny line. I have to share it with the audience.
Okay.
He goes, "Boomer must have spilled some coffee." Like,
wow. Like, yes, this Boomer aside.
I mean, it was just like
maybe
great
that's
timing.
The case.
It was very funny. Yeah.
Hopefully it was coffee.
Yeah, well, hey, good point.
Hello.
I didn't think of that.
Right, exactly.
Well, we had Andrew Bogus here.
Yes, what's going on, Andrew?
Oh, hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay.
Oh, what? There you go.
Hey. Hold on a second. We got Phillips.
Pete working on his jokes back there.
We'll talk to you. I'll guess this here. We'll talk to you.
Hey, good chat, guys. Great to see you.
Steve Phillips is with us now. Former executive with the Mets, MLB Radio, Network Radio. You hear him now. Hey, Steve, good morning. Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple.
Steve, what's up?
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Good to be with you.
All right.
Pleasure's ours, Steve. Let's look ahead here. We'll get to the game 5 down in Houston between the Rays and Astros. Tonight, let's start out in Los Angeles. How much pressure here is on the Dodgers with Strasburg on the mound, Walker Buehler on the mound for Los Angeles as you see a Game 5 out in Chavez Ravine?
No, I think a ton of pressure on the Dodgers. I mean, trying to get back for the third time to the World Series. And I think the expectations this year was this was the year, right? This was going to be the year they'd win the World Series, but you have to get there first. Listen, there's no shame to be 2-2 in a series with the Washington Nationals with the starting pitchers they can throw out there. But they came in with big expectations and, somewhat the expectation it's World Series or bust in L.A. And so no doubt, I think more pressure on them. And for the Nats, in franchise history, they've never won a playoff series. And so this is kind of important for them, too. Great pitching matchup, though. Buehler, absolutely fantastic in Game 1. And Strasburg nails in Game 2 for the Nationals. So this is going to be some kind of matchup tonight.
Hey, Steve, do you think the Strohs, I mean, made a mistake with Verlander on 3 days rest? I mean, there's a lot of scuttlebutt about it. I mean, it's kind of hard not to think that. But what's your view on it?
No, I don't. I think it was the right thing to do. Their other options were Wade Miley, who they ended up bringing in Game 3 in pitching, who was horrible, over his last 5 or 6 starts. And Jose Urquidy, who did throw yesterday and threw some 48 pitches to get through an inning and 2/3. And so, no, I think it was the right thing to do because, what do you do if you don't pitch Verlander? You go back and quite honestly, you've got a fully rested Gerrit Cole to back it up and to go in Game 5. And so, I look at it and think I might have preferred even Cole to pitch in Game 5 over Verlander. So, what are you saving Verlander for?
Right,
so I think it was the right move to try to do it. He just didn't have his command. Everything found the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
And credit the Tampa Bay Rays. And look, it felt like it was much more lopsided than the 4-1 score. And if not for the Willie Adames being able to, in Kiermaier relay throw, that gunned down Altuve at the plate, it might have taken a different turn in the game. So, no, I think it was the right move. It just didn't work. And, you know, the numbers for pitchers coming back on short rest aren't very good. We saw Dallas Keuchel not throw all that great for the Atlanta Braves. We saw it again with Verlander. But it was still a better option than anything else they had available to them.
You think, Steve, you think Cole delivers for the Stros tomorrow in Game 5?
I do. I just think his stuff is so overpowering. And so, you know, it may come down to a battle of the bullpens and, you know, the end of the game bullpens. And I have a little bit of doubt in you know, Roberto Osuna in the ninth inning. And we know that, you know, Ryan Pressly's not been as good as after coming back from injury for the Astros. But if they have enough margin for error, I think they can hold on and win that game. But they're going to have to score, and they're going to have to get on glass now. They got a two-run shot the last time against them to get to lead, although he threw well. I think it's going to be a really, really good game. But I think that Cole out-pitches glass now and puts the Astros in a position late with a lead to see if they can't hold on and win.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because we start off the conversation talking about pressure on the Dodgers. I mean, you got all the pressure on the world on the Stros tomorrow night at home as well, which is going to be interesting to see how that team does react, because the expectations, at the very least, they got to get to the Yankees in the ALCS, but the goal was, obviously, with Cole and Verlander, to win the Fall Classic this year.
Yeah, I think if the Dodgers fall, the Nationals are a great story and would be a great matchup against either the Cardinals or the Braves. So, you still have some compelling story there. I'm dying for the Astros-Yankees series, right? I mean, that just feels like two heavyweights standing in the middle of the ring just pounding on each other. If they get eliminated, it will feel a lot different in the American League to me. The Yankees should be able to beat the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, you know, listen, the Rays are good. We underestimate them. They don't do it with star power. They do it with depth and length and a lot of really good players instead of, you know, great individual stars. But I'm dying for an Astros-Yankees series, so I'll be disappointed if the Astros don't win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Our special guest right now is Steve Phillips, SiriusXM MLB analyst and host, former MLB GM. Steve, so on that topic there, like Moose and I were talking at the tippy top of our program here this morning, and we were talking about that, like as far as what Major League Baseball would want. I mean, you know, I would think that from, you know, market specifics and TV, you know, numbers and ratings and just awareness on the game and the big postseason here with the ALCS and the NLCS on the cusp of it, you know, maybe you probably would you agree that they probably don't want Yankees, Tampa Bay, and they probably don't want St. Louis and D.C. They want the big markets of Atlanta and L.A. Agreed?
No, yeah, no question about that. I mean, certainly their you know, broadcast partners are going to want that too. I mean, listen, we're going to find the compelling storylines because we love the game, and you know, we'll find there's still going to be a lot to talk about in all of this. But absolutely, I think that you know, they'd love to see a Yankees-Dodgers World Series from a ratings perspective. I think the networks would like to see that. The Astros are a compelling team. Even, you know, I think that they have some reach and breadth nationally just because of the star power. I think we're starting to recognize the names. We're getting to sort of connect to the personalities between Cole and Verlander. I think there's, you know, name recognition with Altuve and Springer and Bregman. And so I think but market size, you know, you're just looking at a completely different rating if you have New York and L.A. in a World Series championship.
You know, Steve, to the other Game 5 that we haven't hit upon yet, and how about Braves and Cardinals down in Atlanta? It's been a great series. It really has. Back and forth, each and every of the games, kind of twists and turns, star pitchers performing, and the offense coming around, clutch hitting. How do you think Game 5 plays out today?
Yeah, I mean, a rematch of Game 2, which, you know, everybody thought, boy, the Braves lost Game 1. They've got Flaherty going for the Cardinals in Game 2, and the Braves are in trouble. But Mike Foltynewicz matched Flaherty pitch for pitch in that game. He was awesome in that game, and he has really, really good stuff. And so it wasn't a surprise to a lot of us. So I think it's going to be another great game. It turns into a battle of the bullpens. Both bullpens have had their issues. You know, how confident are you in Carlos Martinez at the end of the game now, particularly if Ronald Acuna is at the plate? And how confident are you right now in Mark Melancon at the end of the game? And so I think it's got a chance to be a close game determined by the bullpens. And that's my home field advantage, I think, is in the Braves' favor in this one. And so, you know, I have the Braves winning and advancing. But I think it's going to come down to a ninth inning, 10th inning, 11th inning sort of result with two evenly matched teams.
Agreed. I mean, it's going to be a fun one this afternoon. Final one before we let you go, Steve, because you've been in that room and you're familiar with the franchise. What do you think the Mets are going to do here in terms of their managerial search? A lot of burn here around Carlos Beltran. We know Joe Girardi's interested. Buck is interested. Where do you think the Mets go here?
You know, I think one of the things that's really going to be important is somebody that can handle the media. And that doesn't mean they have to, have experience in the large market, but they maybe have been in the media. But I think so they need to have somebody, I think, that really understands how to answer the questions. Because when you don't, we see all of the other work that has to go into cleaning up the mess. And so you want to avoid the mess. And so I think that having some experience, large market experience is good. I personally think that if you're in a win now position, going with a rookie manager just doesn't seem to make as much sense to me. That you need somebody who sort of understands the X's and O's, understands, where to take the game analytically. Although the Mets aren't the most advanced analytics team, I think it's certainly part of it. And so I would hire Joe Girardi in a second.
Yeah,
handles New
I'm
York.
I'm with you. I hope so.
You can handle New York. You've got some element of competition with the Yankees is part of it, which is a nice storyline. You've got a guy that's a win now manager. He's blended young players and veterans, and I think that there's some part of him that wouldn't mind a second crack at it in New York too. So I think that to me he'd be the go-to guy.
Steve Phillips, former executive with the Mets, SiriusXM MLB analyst and radio, does a great job. Hey, Steve, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks for getting up early. Enjoy all the action over the course of the next couple of days, all right?
Steve, thanks,
terrific,
man.
Terrific, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. In agreement. I mean, I think did we go around. I think we're all in agreement, right? I mean, in terms of Girardi, the love affair for Girardi,
so.
Right?
Yeah, we all love Girardi.
Yeah.
Even, yeah.
He was on Fox last night.
Yeah.
Girardi's going to get, I believe, an interview with the Cubs this week, correct?
That's what I'm worried about.
Did you hear the Pierzynski jab?
I missed it.
About
no.
the Mets last
no,
night.
No, what did he? I
so
missed that.
I was half falling asleep. I don't know exactly what they showed coming back from break, but it had to be some kind of choreographed dance by Rays employees.
Okay.
So Kenny Albert referenced Girardi seeing the Yankee grounds crew do the YMCA.
Okay.
So then a pitch happens and Pierzynski goes, "You ever see that before, Joe?" And enjoy his voice, like, "Yeah, we just talked about the YMCA Yankee Stadium." And so Pierzynski goes, "In New York?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yankees or Mets?" He's like, I've only been the Yankees manager." And then Pierzynski goes, "Well, I'm only concerned where you're going, not where you've been."
There it is.
Well, there you go. So, AJ, make it happen.
I actually know AJ Pierzynski, and because he's a big wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's crazy. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, and he used, well, because that, well said. That's just basically, Andrew Bogus just said all wrestling fans are crazy.
No. Like, I can see him wanting to be a wrestler because he's crazy.
He said it on the air. He wants to manage guys in WWE. But anyway, when I used to work for TNA Wrestling, do the commentary, we used to shoot TV across the street from, we used to be at Universal Studios. Okay, that's where we shot there at a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a high school across the street in Orlando, a big, big high school, beautiful campus like this high school. And that's where AJ went to high school, played baseball, and he used to come to all the wrestling events. I mean, once he was in the pros, I'm saying the majors.
Yeah.
And he told me the story about the high school. I don't know, that's not really pertinent. But regardless, he used to come to the shows, all the TNA shows. He might have done something on air. Didn't he, Pete, with TNA or somebody?
I believe he did something with TNA.
I think he did. But a big, big wrestling fan. I always go back to Pete. Because he's got,
Well,
he's
your brain.
He's the savant.
You. He's you minus the chair hits.
And the championships.
That's
all nuts. Right.
And the accomplishments.
Yes.
That especially.
No, but anyway, AJ actually a really good guy. Like, he is a good guy. Funny guy.
And it's interesting when he came across, as a baseball player, completely different than what he is on the air. Because Pierzynski was an ass. I mean, as a baseball player.
That's true.
He was not viewed as being a good guy.
Yeah.
And, he was viewed as that being that kind of a guy. And on as a Fox analyst or as a baseball analyst, he comes across completely different. So it's kind of interesting how he's changed that dynamic in terms of his personality and the way that he's viewed. I thought they did a nice job last night. I thought Pierzynski and Girardi were good together.
Yeah,
Kenny's a pro. Kenny can basically call you know, two rats running down a street.
No, he's great. Ken is great. You know, I like that. I do like that three-man booth. I'm normally not a fan of the three-man booth, but they did a great job. They definitely did.
It'll be fun game five tomorrow night down in Houston. But we'll see where Girardi does end up. I mean, he's made it perfectly clear. I mean, how many times, whether it be TV or radio interviews, that, you know, he's interested in the Met job.
I just worried about that Cub thing because he's from Chicago. So I'm worried about that.
Well, I was telling somebody yesterday that that's intriguing, where I'd be a little fearful in terms of with Girardi. There was one point in time Girardi used the Cubs to get more money out of the Yankees.
Oh, right. Jones.
And so I'd be a little concerned about Girardi using the Mets to get more money from the Cubs.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I'd be a little concerned about that because I do. I mean, I've had one or two people told me when he got let go by the Yankees, they've told me that his dream job is the Cubs.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I mean, it could have changed. I mean, the Cubs don't have a great farm system. They've got, you know, they've got some salary issues. They're going to have to change over some guys on that roster. He might view the Mets as a better alternative.
Well, why'd you put that out?
The Cubs also seem to have a crush on Mark Loretta, the former player. Mm. So, you know, I guess your hope as a Met fan is that he doesn't have the Cubs to use as leverage. I think that either way, the money's going to be an issue. I don't know. My fear for the Mets is that they're not going to pay him what he
wants. Oh, we got
wants.
The money. Is it? I mean,
no, they have it.
Well,
they give it to him or not, the question.
They got to do it.
I think it's going to come. I think his number, if I had to guess, is going to fall between 2.5 and 3.
Mm.
Which is three times what Mickey Callaway was getting.
Correct.
And he deserves more than Mickey Callaway. Because Mickey Callaway was not very good.
Now, Madden was making $6 million a year with the Cubs.
Wow.
So, you know, and Girardi, high watermark with the Yankees, was making $4 million. So 2.5 to 3, and there's this trend.
He was only making $4 million with the Yankees?
Yeah, his last contract he signed was 4 years, $16 million.
Wow.
In 2013.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was the last deal that he signed. Yeah, so now, there's been a trend, to probably the point that Andrew mentioned, is to go with these young, inexperienced guys, and you don't have to pay them all that much
cheaper,
money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the trend that's going.
That's business. That's unfortunate. That's what's in this business, too. Same thing.
But with that inexperience, you know, it comes a learning curve as well. And if you're, to play the point that Steve just mentioned, Phillips, that is, if you're in a win-now mentality, Taz, don't you want a guy that's been there, done that?
Absolutely.
That he doesn't have to, is not learning on the job?
Of course. Absolutely. Hey, listen, we all know this expression I'm about to say, and it's an expression that, you know, that hits home with everybody. I mean, in business, and I don't care what you do for a living, listen to the show right now. You get what you pay for. You want cheap? You're going to get someone who's not as talented or doesn't bring as much credibility. Or, like you said, Moose, about learning curve. You know, that's what
now, they could be just as good down the line, but there's more risk.
Yeah, yeah.
You're paying for, you know, when you pay more money, there's less risk involved.
Of course, because you're getting someone.
A known commodity.
A known commodity, correct. I remember, real quick story, years ago, when I first started to make a little money in wrestling, this is way back, I went to a Mercedes dealership. I'm like, I got to get a Mercedes, right? I walk in, and I'm looking at the 190. Remember the 190?
Like,
I'm
not as big of a car guy as you are.
Anyway.
What's a 190?
I think, I don't know what the number is now, but the 190 was like the entry level, you know, Mercedes.
Sedan?
Yeah. It was
four-door sedan, two-door sports car?
It was a coupe.
A
two-door Jones.
Okay.
I was young. This is before, my wife and I were engaged at the time. So,
okay. So
I go in, I'm just looking in the showroom. Guy comes over, you know, Joe salesman, typical car salesman. He's got the cheap ass suit, you know. He's got the coffee in his hand. No matter if you're at a Mercedes dealership, he says, "How's it going?" Meanwhile, I'm in like a tank top, sweats, flip flop, weightlifting belt. I mean, mohawk.
Right. AJ Pierzynski's on your shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, I'm full pro wrestler mode. Like full fanny pack, big leather fanny pack.
Nice.
I got a beeper clipped on the fanny pack.
Hell of a look.
Bro, I'm not kidding. I'm packing a lip, okay? And I just walk in, attitude like you could imagine, right? Guy's like, "How you doing?" He knows. He's thinking, this bum. This guy can't afford a Mercedes.
Yeah, the manager told him, get rid of this.
Yeah, exactly, right? No, you're right. So he comes over.
Tell him the bathroom's for customers only.
And he goes, "How you doing?" I go, "All right." He goes, "So you're looking at the 190? I go, "Yeah." Then I look at the sticker on it, right? I'm like, "Geez, I can't afford this, right? I'm not telling no one this." And my fiance, now my wife, is like, "You know, I don't know if you can swing this." I go, "I think you're right." And he says, "The 190, entry level." He goes, "You want cheap? This is what you get. You get what you pay for." He goes, "Let me know if you want to do business." And he goes back to his desk. I walked out of there with my tail tucked between my legs like a schmuck. I never bought a Mercedes after.
There you go. That's nice.
I felt like an idiot. God made me feel like a jerk.
Right.
But anyway, I remember him saying that. Entry you want level. Cheap? You the want Jesus. Cheap? That My that, wife still joke about that yeah, sentence. That, you want the, cheap?
That experience would be ingrained in my mind as well.
Oh, my God. It was humbling, man.
I'm sure.
So, I was a young Jesus. Guy. You know yeah. what I mean?
The day I became Taz.
Yeah.
I
was like, oh, my God.
Right, exactly right.
But the funny thing is, years later, I ended up, once I did well.
Killing him.
Well, no. No, I went the other way. I ended up getting a handful of BMWs. So,
oh, nice.
So that's a true story. That's there a true story. Once I started doing well, I'm like, frig them. You know, so but anyway, you want cheap? That's it. So yeah. You want to go to young manager, the Mets, and they don't, you know, hey, you get what you pay for. You know, even if the Cubbies did that, you know, you got to go with guys that have credibility, especially as a skipper.
Yeah, we'll see where, as their search has just begun, we'll see where they end up and where eventually they go. Bogish, another Met fan, is in the house. Second time we're playing. First time ever in the history of the Taz yeah. Moose, we play the Bogish intro music twice in an hour.
Very good. Barely so played it the first time.
Speakerphone Jones down there in Houston.
Last time, too.
Today is the day.
The last time.
For the record right, books.
The first time. The battle. A little history here on Taz and the Moose this morning.
We're going to have to go to break. We'll do it on this set. No, I'm kidding.
It's kind of like Taz versus the Benz dealer. It's China versus the NBA. The war rages on as we speak. Signage promoting this week's Lakers-Nets preseason games in the country being taken down today. Media sessions with both teams canceled, as well as an NBA Cares event starring the Lakers. Yesterday was a Nets community event that got knocked off the schedule. All of this the result of Rockets GM Daryl Morey tweeting his support of Hong Kong protesters last week. Here at home, this kind of counts. Ben Simmons hit a three-pointer last night in the Sixers' 144-86 preseason win over the Guangzhou Long Lions. Simmons missed the first 19 threes he tried in an NBA uniform, counting the preseason, the regular season, and the playoffs. So now we get to Tampa Bay. Justin Verlander pitching on short rest. It didn't work for the Astros.
Now the 2-1 to Wendell. Swing and a line drive down the right field line. That's going to get down and go all the way to the wall. Garcia scores. Here's Darno to third. He's going to be waved home. Now he's going to be given the stop sign. Tries to scramble back to third, and he does. It's an RBI double by Joey Wendell. 3-0 Rays.
Dave Wills on Rays Radio. 3 in the first. Then Willie Adames' long solo shot in the fourth, and Verlander was done. The Rays take game 4-1, forcing a game 5 in Houston tomorrow night. They'll face Gerrit Cole in that one. They counter with Tyler Glasnow. Last night, the Rays used an opener in Diego Castillo. Four other traditional relievers got them into the ninth inning. Then usual starter Blake Snell got two outs for the save in his first career relief appearance. Game 5 in Atlanta for the Braves and Cardinals, followed by Game 5 in L.A. for the Dodgers and Nationals. That is tonight's schedule, so by this time tomorrow, we will know who's in the NLCS. Jets QB Sam Darnold has finally fought off mono, specifically his enlarged spleen.
Yes, the savior's return.
So Darnold starts Sunday against the Cowboys. Gangrene lost all three games he missed, scoring just 23 points in the process.
Sorry, I didn't know you were talking.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
If anybody's wondering, Lil Kim is trending right now.
Oh, we wore it. She's back?
Yeah, I guess. They said she's the,
She's
trending. It says that she's something with the hip-hop awards.
Yeah, the BET award. I think she performed at them last night.
Oh, it was last night?
Or I think so.
I was just saying this, Moose.
I do not know what. No. I know who Lil Kim is. I do not know who Cuphead is.
Maybe your kids would know. This is because you're little kids. This is.
I do.
Ooh, it looks like a violent cartoon. Maybe your kids don't know, but it's
no,
Halloween.
I don't think so. They're caught into Ryan's toy review.
Oh.
What is. I don't even know what that is.
It's the worst.
Educate me on this because I don't even know.
Ryan's toy's review is probably worth.
Millions.
He's worth about $30 million.
How old is the kid?
About 9?
Yeah. Come on. You're ribbing me.
Nope.
No, I'm swear to you. Yeah. He reviews toys. It's huge.
I think he's mentioned got his own, this already.
Yeah, I've mentioned it before. Yeah, but I didn't realize how wealthy he was until I read an interview with in a business thing about it. He's worth millions upon millions. So these companies send him toys to review. Him and his parents and him put together a video. They put the video online. It gets hundreds of thousands of views. The kids
billions. I'm reading right 32 billion views.
Well, that right, but I'm right, but he does hundreds of toy reviews.
Does that, okay, I didn't
like
know
it's
that.
Not just like one review. It's like tons. He like reviews putty. Like he reviews everything.
He's working
like,
hard.
And yeah, like they like he and now he's got his own toy line.
Yep.
He's got these eggs. He's got these eggs.
He's got eggs.
These ginormous. You go to, now obviously there's not many toy stores around, but there's a few here with Toys R Us closing. But he's got these ginormous eggs, so you buy it. And then you open it up, it's a surprise toy, you know. And
tell you what.
It is what it is.
If I had a 9-year-old daughter, I would, you know, say, listen.
Arranged marriage?
Think about this young man down the road when you guys are both 21. You need to track him, follow him on Twitter, and this might be your future husband. That's the key.
Yeah.
So why is the music playing?
Fatherhood 101.
Well, because we're out of time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because Bilates determines time for break.
That's basically it.
We've been here before.
He likes to tell me to go to break.
Bilates,
I don't have any control over this situation.
He's like, I've heard enough.
I don't care about the billionaire kid. Let's go.
I don't care about someone who's got got more money than me.
Oh, correct.
And doesn't have to. Ryan, think about this. Ryan doesn't have to work a day the rest of his life. College.
I was just saying.
College smallage.
Yeah, who cares about college? Right. This kid's going to buy a college.
Well, not just that. Buy his own island.
You're not kidding, dude.
We'll be traveling to Ryan's toy island when my son's 18 years old.
Unbelievable. Pay some dues, Ryan.
Taz, you should watch.
I will watch.
And it's like, for the young kids, it's literally like crack. They just watch one video after another.
Is he entertaining? I guess he is, right?
Taz, they're reviewing toys. They're jumping into like, they have like, it's not just, it's everything possible. It's like sprinkler systems. It's like
every irrigation breakdown.
No, like, you know how like the water slides outside, jumping around, ball. He reviews
this
everything.
This kid right here, right?
That yes, of course, yes.
Wow, it's green. Wow.
Yes.
Man, unbelievable.
The kid's worth millions. Millions upon millions. It's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Major League Baseball legend Mo Vaughn, and you're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, 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 you certainly are here on this Wednesday morning. Welcome aboard Sirius and XM Channel 206, the app as well, all of our great affiliates. Download that podcast each and every day, radio.com, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. And we get great updates with the love and support people get for download that podcast each and every month, at the end of every month. Right, Taz?
Yeah, no, podcast is great. People have an opportunity, you know, say it a lot here that, you know, you listen, there's a lot of content to pull in the world, video and audio content on demand these days. And, you know, this show's a 3-hour show. We do a 3-hour show, so it's tough. Tough to listen to all 3 hours sometimes. So you go to Apple Podcasts or radio.com for free ski every day, and you can listen to the show full or whatever segment you want. It's all there right there on radio.com and Apple Podcasts. So, yes, it's going great.
We've talked a lot of baseball this hour, Taz, and just one quick note, because the Yankees are awaiting the winner of the Rays and Astros Game 5 tomorrow down in Houston. They'll also have a little bit of a concern with their closer, because Aroldis Chapman, who recorded the final 5 outs in their series clinching 5-1 win over the Twins in Game 3 out there in Minnesota, in celebration, you know, in the Yankee clubhouse, the visiting clubhouse out there in Minnesota, got hit with a bottle on his throwing hand.
I did not hear this.
Yes. He said he's fine.
That's horrible.
Well, right. I mean, that's awful. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see exactly, was someone throw a bottle or, you know, man. It's kind of weird that someone would, like, you know, hurt your hand on a bottle, but he hurt his pitching hand. Now, he said it's not a big deal. Cashman said he first noticed it when he kind of bumped into him in the clubhouse.
Why are they all touching him? He's the pit. This guy bumped into him. This guy's throwing bottles at him. What's going on?
I don't understand how a bottle gets thrown. Like, who's throwing a bottle?
They're probably getting a little buzz on. They're excited to act like
this. I mean, this is not
kids.
A riot. It's not a bar fight. You're celebrating a victory. They're hitting.
Pro athlete, right? Not a high school kid.
Right.
I hear you.
He said it, you know, Chapman said it's not a big deal, but, said his left hand was heavily bandaged, but said he was fine. We'll find out if indeed Aroldis Chapman is fine when the Yankees call upon him to close out a game.
I'm sure he will be. It's the Yankees. Everything falls right in place. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
Bitter Met fans, just angrily. I thought you root for the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I thought you root for the Yankees when the Mets are eliminated.
Why do you think I'm pulling so hard for the Dodgers to come out of the NL? That's it.
Handshake or no handshake? We'll get into the Sherman Baker disaster. We'll do that next. It's Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.